In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The four gospel writers tell us that large crowds went out to see and hear John the Baptist. To hear these gospel writers tell it, everyone in Judea and Jerusalem, southern part of Israel, was talking about John. The buses and the trains that went out into the desert were packed with people, and you couldn't find a parking spot anywhere near the Jordan River. Maybe this was the first mega church out there in the wilderness. But when they got out there to where John was preaching, there was no self-help message. There were no big screens. There were no mass choirs. Everything we're told about John the Baptist makes me think that most of us would avoid him like the plague. Every time I read the gospel's description of John and his ministry, it reminds me of street preachers waving Bibles and signs with John 3:16 painted on them. Signs warning you to repent or perish, or repent or go to hell. But there is a major difference between that kind of message and the message of John the Baptist. John did not plant himself at a corner over at Pike Place Market, or down here at 228th and 8th, or at Starbucks, because that's where everyone goes for those pumpkin lattes or whatever they are. John went out into the middle of nowhere. And for those of you who have been to the Holy Land and been to that area, you know it is a desolate wasteland. John didn't get in anyone's face or try to stick a flyer or a tract in their hand. In fact, it seems John made people go to a lot of trouble. He made them go out of their way to get to him. But go to him they did, and the scriptures tell us that they went by the droves. I have often wondered why John went out into the wilderness to accomplish his mission. I mean, if I wanted to shake up the religious and political establishment, if I wanted to help people amend their lives, to do the will of the Lord, if I wanted to prepare the way of the Lord, I would not go to the desert. I would find a nice church building, you know, with nice, comfortable seats, candles, and the heating works most of the time. Facebook works most of the time. Or I'd go to the cathedral, nice space, lots of people around there. I would go where the demographic is much more suitable. And as we say in the church world these days, we got to go to where the people are. But John doesn't do that. John goes out into the wilderness. Now, when you study the history of God's people, it begins to make a little more sense. It seems that God has the tendency to do some of his most profound work in the strangest, wildest places, often in wilderness places. Take Brother Moses, for example. Running for his life, he runs to the wilderness and is there on a lonely, deserted mountainside in the middle of nowhere that Moses encounters God, the great I Am, in a burning bush. And the rest, as they say, is history. And think about the people of Israel who wonder in the desert for 40 years before they're able to enter the promised land. But it's there in the desert, in the wilderness, they learn that God will still care for them. And then think about Paul the apostle. After his conversion, he doesn't go down to Jerusalem or over to Rome. Scripture tells us that for about 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years, Paul goes out into the desert. And it's there that he is prepared to take the gospel all the way to the seat of Roman power. Not even Jesus can escape the wilderness. Luke, and we'll read this passage of Scripture even more so in the next few Sundays, Luke tells us that Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested. And it's there that Jesus comes to terms with his identity as the beloved Son of God. The wilderness. One writer suggests that John went into the wilderness because the religious and political establishment had all but doused the flame of God's Spirit with self-righteous, self-absorbed thinking. I think there's a reason why some of us, why many of us, go on these long walking pilgrimages, or we'll go hiking for days. We'll go to lonely places, or we'll seek the quiet of a monastery or a convent. Because if you hang out with the status quo crowd long enough, you will find a lot of superficiality. You'll find a lot of anxiety, a lot of blaming, a lot of positioning. It is hard to hear the voice of God when the endless noise of the news cycle and the constant blaming and positioning has all but drowned out the word of the Lord. One thing is for sure, according to the gospel, about John's life. In the wilderness, John came face to face with the truth. It is there that he learned the truth about himself, the truth about God, the truth about the world around him. And as the text says, it is in the wilderness that John hears the still small voice of God. The word of God came to John in the wilderness. And it is there that John is able to discover his mission, his purpose in life. It's there that John finds the inner peace. And out of that inner peace, John is able to speak the word of the God boldly and clearly. The wilderness shaped John, I think, just as the wilderness experience shaped Jesus himself. It makes one wonder what the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus would have looked like without the wilderness experience. Now, I've told this story before, and I think it is apropos today, so I'm going to tell it again for those of you who haven't heard it. But this happened when a young student, an undergrad, came to me in Chicago. She came to interview me for a paper she was writing for a class project. We'll call her Anne. She was a bright, young university student, and she was taking a class on vocation. So she came to me to ask, well, what is it like to be a priest? And how did I make the decision to become a priest? What was it like to work full-time in the church? Was I crazy? Yes, I am crazy for doing this, I told her. And then at some point in that conversation, she asked what the Episcopal Church taught about human sexuality and how I interpreted passage of scriptures that some Christians use to argue their particular viewpoint. And after a few minutes into that part of the conversation, it became very clear to me that she was doing more than interviewing me for a term paper. At one point, she confessed she felt as though she were wandering around in a wilderness, trying to figure out what to do with her life when she graduated. Trying to figure out her sexuality. Who is it okay for me to love? She asked. Toward the end of that interview, I asked her how it felt to be where she was. If there was any anxiety about being in that space that she called her wilderness. She paused for a moment and said, "You know, it's really not a bad place at all. I'm at peace with where I am right now. I'm discovering that in this wilderness place, I'm finally beginning to ask the right questions. And right now, that is much more important to me than having all the answers. I told her that Carl Jung was asked once by a young person how to be successful in life. And Jung responded, "Follow the detours." It was in the wilderness detour that the people of Israel learned to put their trust in God. In the wilderness detour, John encountered the fulfillment of the very thing that he had been proclaiming, the kingdom of God in his cousin, Jesus, who comes to the river to be baptized. Luke's gospel tells us that the Spirit sent Jesus on a detour to the wilderness after his baptism. You know, if I had just been baptized and heard a voice from heaven and seen the Holy Spirit floating around on me, I would not have gone to the desert. I would have found me a preaching station, a church. But no, the Spirit makes Jesus take a detour. And it is there in that detour experience of the wilderness that Jesus comes out of that full of the Spirit, Luke tells us. He's ready at that point to begin his ministry and fulfill his mission as the Son of God. Surely all of us would say that we are living in a wilderness time. The pandemic has been a wilderness, and we're still in it. We wonder if it will ever end. And if it does, what is life going to look like on the other side of it? Some of us are wandering around today in a wilderness of our job or a career that seems to be going nowhere. We feel stuck or we're just kind of over it. Some of us are in the wilderness of relational tension. Maybe we're in a relationship that is stuck somewhere between bad and worse, or we're dealing with the loss of someone that we loved deeply and we miss them. Or we're struggling with a health issue, or we're struggling with depression. Some of us are wondering if we've lost our faith or if we ever had any faith at all. And I think all of us, throughout our lives, always are searching for something that gives us meaning and makes sense out of all this craziness in the world. Whether or not you're in some kind of personal wilderness this morning, the season of Advent, when you think about it, and Lent does this too, but in a different way, the season of Advent itself is a kind of wilderness space the church creates. Not to make us gloomy or fearful, but to call us to enter into a place where we can hear the truth about ourselves once again and hear the truth about God. In fact, if you're sitting here or you're watching online, you are invited into a wilderness space in this space right here. A place where there is no cable news going on right now on the screens. Hallelujah. A place where you're not supposed to be sending text or reading emails. A place where there's no shopping. It's here in this space that we can meet God. We can hear from God. We can be challenged. We can be quiet while the world around us is howling with holiday sales and hyped up news cycles and the ever-present pressure to buy more, to do more, to be more. Today we're called to go with John into the wilderness to be more in touch with our own hunger, our own thirst for the living God. And brothers and sisters, it is only after we walk into the wilderness that the chaff is burned away. The chaff is those things that keep us from being filled with joy and peace and hope. And I want to ask you a question to ponder on this day and the rest of this week. Are you at peace? Are you at peace? Where are you on the peace scale? If one is the lowest and 10 is the highest, where are you? And as Mother Carissa pointed out last week, hope, and I think peace can be added to this, is most often found and experienced in the nitty-gritty places of life, in the wilderness. Now, I dare say, if truth be told, there is not one of us in this room or watching online who likes to stay in the wilderness. We don't like detours. When they've got 244th closed down here and I have to detour up to 228th, I'm as mad as a wet hen. Now, don't you get started or you'll get me all wound up and we'll be here all day, Jeffrey. I mean, we don't want to wander into the desert for 40 years like the people of Israel. We don't want to be in the desert for 40 days like Jesus. We don't want to be in it for 15 minutes. We want to get to the other side of it. But friends, if we are willing to dig deep, if we are willing to open our hearts and minds to it, right there in the middle of the wilderness, we can encounter the gifts of God that come to us only in the wilderness places. For John the Baptist, those gifts in the wilderness were truth. The gift of a chance to reset and to give others a chance to reset. The opportunity to clear away the clutter, to find, to discover the way of peace, and to know more about the God of peace. So what gifts of God will you encounter in the wilderness, whatever that wilderness is for you this day? What word from the living God needs to come to you in your wilderness? The message of John is for all of us, wherever we are, that if we will listen, if we will dig deep, if we will open our hearts and minds, we will not miss the salvation of God that, as the scripture says, is appearing right in front of us, right before our very own eyes. Amen. Before we move on, we're going to do something a little bit different today. In front of you in the pew racks are prayer cards, just like this. And I want to ask you to take just a moment to reflect on where you are this morning. Where do you need to experience the peace of God during this season? What this morning is causing you fear or anxiety about yourself, your family, your job, your community, our nation, our world? What is the wilderness in your life right now in which you need to hear a word from the Lord? And I'm going to ask you don't have to put your names on this, but just to jot that down. And then when you're finished, if you desire, bring it up and place it on the altar. And we're going to offer those prayers to the Lord this morning, asking that God will give us peace in our wilderness.